It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
What up, everybody? It's the happiest time of the year. My kids are going back to school. How about yours? Are you ready? This particular summer has gone by pretty quick. Hope you guys had some enjoyable experiences with your family. I really do. And you know what? I'm grateful for my time with my kids as I am nearing 60, which boggles my mind that I'm too young to be this old, really. But anyway, it's good. It's good that I can say that, because as we all know, some people die much young, you know, die unexpectedly at young ages. So I'm grateful for the time. And I certainly hope that I have additional time. I'm certainly not done. I certainly want to see my kids reach certain thresholds in life, right? But when I was young and dumb and all I cared about was, you know, making a splash in the world, I did not make the time for my family the way I should have, and that I regret. Today, I am grateful to have the time. And the availability to be able to spend time with my kids. And like a lot of us, our kids are scattered, right? We are almost empty nesters. We have a total of five kids. Two, the twins, are living at home. And the rest of the kids are scattered across the country, right? So it's good to be able to stay in contact. And I'm grateful for technology that allows us to stay in contact. I mean, it's crazy, you know, between Skype and FaceTime and, you know, text messaging and stuff like that. It's a wonderful way to stay connected and not lose that. I'm ready to, to get moving here and get the party started, if you will. I was trying to think of, quotes of the day, right? As you guys know, we like to start off the day. We like to start off with inspirational or motivational quotes. And sometimes it's easier than other times, right? It's just, that's the way life is, huh? And I wanted to talk about this. Living each day as if it were your last doesn't mean your last day of retirement on a remote island. It means to live fully, authentically, spontaneously, with nothing being held back. That is by best-selling author Jack Canfield. And Jack Canfield is a very nice guy. I've had the chance to hang out with him, and he's been on the show a couple of times. Probably best known as one of the co-authors of Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Yeah, series. Living each day as if it were your last doesn't mean your last day of retirement on a remote island. It means to live fully, authentically, and spontaneously with nothing being held back. All right. Having said that, let's welcome our first guest today, Joan Tabb. Joan Tabb is founder of Great in Eight Coaching and the author of Building Blocks for Their New Retirement. An expert in managing life transitions, she is a sought-after career and executive coach, blogger, and speaker. Her new program, Revitalment, is reinvigorating boomers' retirement paradigms Joan Tabb, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and I love the quote you gave, too. I think that's an excellent one.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, you know, I wanted to talk about you have a book. And I'm looking for where my sweet producer put the book, which I can't see on my notes here. So tell us about your book, Joan.
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. But, you know, I did want to say something about living fully in the moment. And I thought that was such a timely and interesting thing that you mentioned. I continue to interview and meet with people who are in this new retirement I call revitalment. And I call it that because this is not your father's retirement. We now have decades ahead that people a few decades never had. Do you know that? We have our 70s, 80s, and 90s when we're still vital. We live longer. Medical advances have us live a lot healthier. So we have the opportunity for sort of this third act in life that generations before us never had. So I call us the pioneers into this new period. And we were never given a guidebook. You wouldn't go into a new country without a guidebook or a map. So I've done all the heavy lifting for people, and I've given them the 8 areas to look at. And then the 8th section actually is where you put together an action plan. But I'm constantly meeting with people who are in this new period, and I probe and I like to find out what they're doing. And just yesterday, I met with a man who said, you know, Joan, I read your book, and I think it's great, but I do want to tell you where I spend most of my time. And that is in living in the fullness of the moment, because I had a 40-year career that was incredibly demanding. Even when I was on vacation, I was constantly looking at the financial markets. I had so much pressure on my shoulders to manage people's money. And so I feel like I missed out on a lot of relationships and a lot of life because I was distracted by the pressures of my work. He said, now I really tune in on a sensory level to what's going on around me on the outside and on the inside how I'm feeling. Plus, the third area he focuses on is his relationships with the people he loves who matter a lot to him. And he does real active listening. And he said, I'm getting closer to these people because I was distracted before. So I think it's really interesting how people are waking up to this new opportunity and using that time and using it well.
Yes, absolutely. And I think... like your client there, I think, interestingly enough, you know, I talked about that, you know, when you're, and I think this is very typical, especially for young people where you are looking to make your splash in the world and you're looking to conquer and all this other stuff. And sometimes you you take advantage of your family, or let me rephrase it. You take them for granted. We assume that you're going to get married and you're going to have kids and, you know, all that stuff is going to be somehow normal. But, you know, sometimes we had a neighbor of ours who's also goes to our church, and he has a fairy tale life, and his wife with her best friend, they went out for their typical morning bike ride. And she never came back. She was hit by an 18-wheeler that didn't see her. And she, you know, luckily she died instantly. Yeah. But
still,
that is a wake-up call that today, this moment, this second, you know, you got to understand what it is, because you don't know what you're going to get tomorrow or, you know, later today or something like that. Look at all the people, you know, who went to work complaining, and you know, some of them were complaining, I'm assuming, because they had to get up and they're fighting traffic to get to their job at the Twin Towers.
I knew you were gonna say that. Yeah, and they never came home.
And they never came home.
I think it's a very careful balancing act, because none of us have a crystal ball. So on the one hand, we need to live fully in the moment and focus only in the moment. On the other hand, we need to make plans, because many of us will have years ahead. So let me bring up some examples that I found.
Well, first of all, real quick.
Sure.
What is the name of your book?
Okay. The name of my book is Building Blocks for the New Retirement, an easy, interactive 8-step guide for a retirement with meaning, purpose, and fun. by Joan Tabb, and it's now available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble, and it's at many independent bookstores now as well. So I'm very proud of the reach it's having, and I really love it. On Amazon, you can see all these beautiful reviews because people are really hungry for a guidebook. And in one afternoon or two afternoons, you can go through this. I did the heavy lifting for my readers. Each area is presented in a cogent, concise way with at least three examples and some wise and funny quotes at the end of each chapter. It's called Your Turn. And I ask you questions and give you creative exercises where you apply that strategy, that idea to your life. And you go through the eight sections, and the eighth one, the eighth building block, has a plan. So you extract from the former sections and you put in your plan. I even have you put in the dates because my background, I have a master's in training. So I know that especially with adult learners, you've got to have accountability. So you'll have a plan by the end of the things that you want to do. Now, I do want to talk to you about two of my favorite chapters that most people really resonate with also that they may not have thought of, okay?
Okay.
One is called Your Life Force Never Retires. And that says that we really have the opportunity for the personal growth and the deep work that perhaps we didn't get a chance to do early on. It really has you look at your relationships. Perhaps, I mean, a lot of us have estranged family members or we've been married a few times and we really need to review what happened with our marriages, or we have adult children that we're not close with. So this suggests that there are ways that this is the time. This is the time to go back and really understand who we are, perhaps make amends and forgiveness for things. I had one man I met with who was a very successful businessman, but he realized by the time he was in his 80s that he had been pretty unkind and impatient with a lot of people, and he caused a lot of pain. Well, on his own, he invested in that book called The Great Course in Psychology, and he learned so much in that year that he wrote apology letters, he met with family members, and he then went forward into his last number of years unburdened by what he knew were his personality deficits. So I think it's very interesting that in a sense we do have these, now have these second chances to become better people. And then we can give back in our society. In a lot of cultures, the older people are looked at as sources of wisdom. And they're involved and they're sought out to find answers and suggestions for how do we move forward better as a society. And I think our society is moving to that, where we're seeing these people as having a lot to contribute. There's a section on, you know, your health and how you look. And yes, you do have losses in your physical well-being, and maybe you don't look as beautiful as you had, but there's other kinds of beauty that you now can contribute. So there's another chapter called Extracting from Your Career Life, where just because you retired doesn't mean you can't use some of the skills that you loved. One woman I met with had been a top administrator for special services at a university. But in meeting with her, it turned out she loved early on in her career that she was a deaf interpreter. But as she became an executive, she no longer did that work. Well, I said, why don't you do it as a contractor? And she said, I never thought of that. So she renewed her credentials and her capabilities, and she's now working 2 days a week in retirement. She has a secondary income, and she feels useful, and she's doing something she had always loved. So I think that many times people think that when they go to retirement, sort of lights out and they're done. And I'm saying no. George Bernard Shaw, the famous playwright, said, too bad youth is wasted on the young. Well, he wasn't around now. He wasn't around now. We now have the opportunity where, just like you're talking about young people looking out at their life and where can I make my impact? Now people are coming to their 60s and 70s and saying, where can I continue having an impact? And they are having an impact. And I think we need to have new models of how this is done, and that's why I wrote this book. I originally wrote it because in my career and coaching practice and transition practice, I found that a lot of people were facing these older years and they had a lot of anxiety and apprehension. And they had confusion because on the one hand, they were excited. They were, you know, ready for retirement. Maybe they'd get a pension or their Social Security and they had saved money. But yet they still felt vital. So they felt like they had internal confusing signals. So I recognize that we were entering a brand new period that has never existed in the history of our planet before. And I renamed it because most of the people I met with, they disdain the word retirement because it has negative connotations about being out of the mainstream, done, set to pasture, one step from death. So all of a sudden, one morning, I came up with this word, revitalment, and I've trademarked it because I want to do seminars. I want people to be activated. I want people to recognize this is a unique time of opportunity and how they can build their own unique way to still stay alive and vital.
I love that. I love that revitalment word. I'm glad that you trademarked it. That's smart because you're absolutely right. Look, we are all living much older. My dad, he died on his 95th birthday,
wow,
95 years of age.
Yeah.
And, you know, he lived up until the time that he died. I mean, he was involved in writing books. He did as much as, you know, as he could. But he certainly didn't just sit around passively waiting for the time to go by. He was constantly.
He is incredibly inspiring because I define revitalment as that period of time just after your primary career is over and before your old age sets in an infirmity. But your father had revitalment all the way through to the end.
He did.
Quite something.
And you know what? So what's so funny, am I trying to name drop here. So I'm talking to Lou Ferrigno I'm talking to Lou Ferrigno and I'm talking to him about my dad and stuff like that. And he says, you know, that's one of the wonderful things about having great genetics. Because Lou Ferrigno, by the way, if you haven't seen him, he looks great. We were talking about, how genetics does play a part. Because my dad, bless his heart, he drank, not to excess, but he drank regularly, and he smoked a couple cigars a day. Those were his pleasures in life, a couple of his pleasures in life. But yet he lived to be active until the age of 95. Then you have some people, unfortunately, who because of their genetics, don't live that long, or as you mentioned, have infirmities or whatever. So, good, you know, sometimes good genetics do help us out quite a bit. So,
I just want to say, I've done some research in this area, and I want to offer some inspiration to people who may have had parents die young and grandparents die young. Genetics, it turns out, plays about 20-30% of a role in your longevity. So that means there are at least 70-80% of your lifestyle that you can control. And one of the chief variables is your social life, believe it or not. Your social life, if you're isolated, it's like having 15 cigarettes a day. But if you're engaged with people, look at you on the radio. I mean, you're Mr. Social Life, right?
Right.
That alone is going to give you a lot of years. So I do want to encourage people. There's a chapter in my book called You Gotta Have Friends, and you gotta be flexible and resilient. I interviewed people. I mean, the downside, the sad thing about getting older is like spouses die, friends die, people get infirm. So guess what? You have to use the social muscle of meeting new people. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be your best friend. But one woman was a realtor, and she had two neighbors she always walked with, and she loved her spouse. Her spouse died, and both of her neighbors got sick. So what did she do? She was sad for a while. Then she picked herself up. She joined a community walking group. Through that, she met some people and finally made another best friend. I mean, you got to keep on going. So resilience.
Yes.
And the flexibility muscle are just so important. Now, did you know, this is a little known fact at this point, that in England, they recognized that isolation was killing a lot of their people. So they actually set up a ministry of loneliness. And they do such fun things. They have social workers reaching out in the community and putting together these nightclubs for older people in a given geographic area. Of course, the nightclubs start at 5 p.m. They serve food. They have bands. And they interviewed these people. These people come back alive. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, we think so much they're introverts, extroverts, but most human beings do well socializing. And so
yes,
that's something that's totally in your control. The other thing that's totally in your control is to get moving. You don't have to go to the gym and lift weights, but join a little walking group, right? So getting outdoors, having some fresh air. I mean, these things may sound like common sense, but common sense ain't so common. So there really are things that we can do no matter what our genetics are, okay? I think it's really important.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's absolutely important. I love what you said there. You don't have to go to the gym, but you have to move. And that's vitally important. You know, one of the things, and I actually wrote about this, what my dad did every day is he would get up and he would do deep breathing exercises. He would just sit there and breathe deeply. Yeah. And I've taken on that same thing. It's a great way to wake up because you start forcing oxygen in your body and it's so much better than caffeine and your brain really becomes alive so much quicker. It's an amazing,
but
amazing.
Hey, I like both. I'm sitting here with my cup of coffee and I do my exercises and deep breathing. How about that? But the other thing that's interesting when you mention your dad and how you really got ideas from him, I look at all the older people in my life and people I've met with. I've gotten so many cool ideas. Like one of the men I met with said he has a warm glass of water with lemon every morning. And boy, that is such a sweet way to start the day. And I had another man who said, you've got to eat salmon. It's brain food. Now, it turns out that the research is following these in a sense, wives' tales, and they're correct. Isn't that interesting? And then I had a grandmother who always said, eat around the rainbow, eat all the fruits and vegetables, and eat colorful foods. These things all matter, and they all contribute to longevity. So, but it's not just the long life we want, it's the quality life.
It is the quality.
And the another chapter that I want to bring up is the idea of being of service and how much you can feel good from it. One woman I know who was a nurse and she retired and her spouse had died, her children lived far away, and she still had a lot of energy. Well, she joined the American Red Cross and goes around the world doing emergency disasters, and she feels so alive and she's having such an impact. So I can't say enough about extracting from your career life and finding out what aspects of it did you really enjoy and can you bring into your life. Now, me personally, when I was even in high school, I volunteered once a week for 4 years at the local daycare center. I get turned on by little kids. I always have. I'm so glad my mom encouraged it and took me there every week. Now, I was a very academic kid, but I had this love of little kids. Now, here I am today. I'm 63 years old. My birthday was 2 days ago. And the little kids in the neighborhood, my husband calls me the Pied Piper. Now, I don't know what it's about, but I just love little kids. And when I brought up my son, I had every party. I had the Halloween parties. I had all the parties at my house. So it's like find out what turns you on. It can be different than what turns on other people. My sister loved her own kids, but she really didn't notice other children. I've always had this thing. And then I go once a week to the school, and I created art and literacy programs in the very low-income schools. And I buy the kids Van Gogh books, Matisse, Frida Kahlo. They all have a bookshelf of books by the end. We do literacy and we do art programs. Now, this just comes from I have a training background and I love kids. I never wanted to be a teacher or an administrator, but this is my, in a sense, hobby. So find out what turns you on, and it might surprise you, but do what you love. Do what comes naturally to you. And many times we aren't encouraged to find that out. I feel very lucky that I had a mom who really supported that in me. Most of the time when we're young, we're encouraged to do the things that will lead to a good career and a safe life, right? But
yes,
I think it's important. Sometimes they can be almost oddball interests because if you look at my academic career, it doesn't seem to go along with this incredible – I get high when I'm with little kids. That childlike way of being in the world turns me on. And I get in their little plays and shows and we write stories together. So you've got to find out what really makes you feel great. Some people, it's being out in nature. And for most human beings, being out in nature is healing. It's rejuvenating. It gets you oxygenated. That's a really important part for most people. They need that.
No, and I agree with what you said. You have to find out, you have to figure out what turns you on. You got to do that. You know, my father-in-law, matter of fact, when he was set to retire, he already had planned the next 12 months of his life. And so him and his wife they had their goal together, and they set out and they went traveling. Interestingly enough, they served a mission. They were out there serving areas that needed help. But that is what turned both of them on. They were able to do it together, and that added a lot to his revitalment, right? And it also revitalized their relationship. And they had this great stuff.
Giving to others. They were building their relationship. It was all good.
Yes, it was all good. And I thought that was, to me, it was a great example of how to keep living after retirement, because I think a lot of people is that they go, okay, well, I'm retired. Now what do I do? And that's the wrong way to approach it. I think you have to say, okay, I'm retiring. I'm retiring on this date. I got to start planning past that date.
Right. Like what I always say, it's not a period, it's a comma.
Ooh, I like that. It's not a period,
it's
not
a period, it's a comma. And the other thing, when you were bringing up about your in-laws, they clearly shared the value of being of service. That was important to them. They like bringing their mission and their message to other people. So I think most human beings do want to be of service, but it's a matter of finding out how you want to be of service. As soon as I became an empty nester, I immediately found this program called Reading Partners that would get me into the classroom. And that's how I started with doing the literacy and the art program. And as we went around the circle and were being trained as literary helpers, they asked us why we were there. And three of us out of the 12 said we were now empty nesters and we craved to have children in our lives again. So we were very clear that that was one of the values and motivators for us. Not for everybody, but for us. I mean, some people, at the back of my book, one of the sections people love is called Volunteer Options. So as I said, I've done a lot of the heavy lifting for you. I've put about 15 different places you can get involved, ranging from getting involved with helping animals, a lot of people like that, you know, the Humane Society, for executives to get involved with these mentorship programs. I mean, there are so many ways, but most of us are not aware of them. So I want to bring the awareness to people. I want to bring a map to them, and I want to make it easy and fun. And that's why I use the metaphor of the building blocks. We use building blocks when we're kids to learn how to build. Well, I'm saying we need building blocks now to construct and build a good later stage of life.
Absolutely. So listen, we're out of time. So how can my listeners find out more about you? I know that your book is on Amazon, Building Blocks for the New Retirement. It's available on Amazon.
All they need to do, I have a nice, easy name, Joan Tabb, JoanTabb. If you Google my name, you'll find everything. And you can also get to my website, Great in 8, the number 8 coaching. But Joan Tabb, and you'll find everything. It'll get you. I've written 2 books now. I have my website, ton of outreach. So if you know my name, you'll find me.
I love it. Joan Tabb, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing about building blocks for the new revitalment.
I just want to say, and I want to tell you, I have done a lot of radio interviewers. You are the most enthusiastic, upbeat guy, and I've totally enjoyed that. And I have a big smile on my face. So thank you for making my day.
Okay. Thank you, Joan.
Bye for now. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good stuff there from Joan Tabb, best-selling author of Building Blocks for the New Retirement. And, you know, she's got a lot of enthusiasm, too. And I think that she's right on with that whole not retirement, but revitalment. Because we, as she said, it's not a period, it's a chapter. It's a comma. I'm sorry. It's not a period, it's a comma. I guess it could be both, because a period doesn't necessarily mean, you know, the end of all ends, right? But it's not the end of your life. It's the end of that chapter. And I love that idea. And as always, my friends, I'm grateful that you're here. Please check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Burt Martinez, youtube.com/Burt Martinez. And I've just put up a new interview with one of my celebrities, one of my celebrity friends. So check it out. I think that you'll enjoy it. As always, my friends, remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.